For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, September the 4th, 1999. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Nove, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise your name, Lord.
Praise your name.
Praise your name. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Oh, Lord, pour out your spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask for an anointing, Lord God. We ask for an anointing, Lord God. For it's not by might nor power, but by your spirit. Lord, we just thank and we praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. We ask for an anointing to come forth to touch the hearts of the people, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord. And all God's folks said, amen.
Amen.
Glory. Glory, glory. Now, yesterday, we talked about the sins of the fathers and the curse that it brings. And we talked about the curse of whoredom. We talked about the curse of the vagabond. And we talked about the curse that comes from violating the sexual laws and not obeying God's voice. And the various curses that are reiterated in the Bible. And then we talked about the fact that we are delivered from the curse of the law by Jesus being hung on a tree. It said all that are under the law are under the curse. But we are delivered from the curse of the law by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As he was hung on the tree. He took the curse for us. We also said that we are delivered from spoken curses. Because no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in condemnation we shall refute and refuse. Now today, we're going to talk about other types of curses. And first I want to talk to you about what a curse is. Now there are seven different Hebrew words that means curses. And I have an excellent theological treatise that was done that's about this thick on his title is The Problem of the Curse in the Hebrew Bible. It's because there's seven different words, and they all have different shades of meaning. And I won't go into all that, but I'll tell you, the curses are real. Now, a curse is a spoken word. It is an evil implication, something evil that is spoken. Words have power in the spirit. Jesus said we would be judged by every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth. It's the words of Jesus in Matthew 12. And so it's important for you to realize that what you say is important. Proverbs 18:31 says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Let's look at that. I can quote all these things, but it's, you remember about 30% or 20% of what I'll say. You remember about 50% of what you read, or 50 to 70% of what you read. You hear me say it, and then you read it. So let's look it up. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it must eat its fruit. You love to talk, be prepared to eat some bitter fruit. Because in many words, there's sin. You talk a lot. In many words, there's sin. Okay. Now the mouth is the launching pad of either blessings or cursings. Let's look at James chapter 3, verse 2 to 10. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle a whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths so they may obey us, and we may turn their whole body. Look at the ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how the great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. Is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast, or bird, or reptile, or creature of the sea is tamed, has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. And he goes on to say, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? The water there is added now. And the word can be fountain. Does a fountain send forth both fresh and bitter from the same opening? The word of water is added by the translators. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and a grape bear vines? No spring can yield both salt and fresh water. Thus, what he's saying there is there are two fountains in you. One, so you do not receive the spirit of the world. You receive the spirit that is from God. So if you speak in the spirit of the world, you issue forth curses. If you speak in the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, you'll issue forth blessings. That's the reason you should be slow to speak and guard your words. Because curses are evil implications that come out of your mouth. Now, remember I told you yesterday under the sins of the fathers that the Israelites had spoken all of these curses on themselves and agreed to them. They were spoken and they were agreed to in the covenant. And all the people said, amen, we accept all this on ourselves. And so they were curses that were spoken and agreed to. Now these are, but when you speak things, they have spiritual power. And I'll show you this as we go on. Romans 12:14 says, do not bless, do not curse, bless. Matthew 12:33. Let's look at Matthew 12:33. It says, either make a tree good and its fruit's good, or a tree bad and its fruit's bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man brings forth good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give an account on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified or made righteous, and by your words you will be condemned. God gave me a vision once when I was studying this, and I was standing before the judgment seat of God. And God asked me about some things I had said. And I said, Lord, did I say that? I didn't say that. And you know it says in Revelation that the books are open. Well, the word for book, you see, is a scroll. And God opened the scroll of the magnetic tape and said, play that tape for him again. And there I was on the big television screen in heaven saying this horrible thing. And it all came back to me and said, yeah, I had said that. And I said, Lord, what did I do? He said, you confess it as sin. And I have a bulk eraser and I will erase it. Amen. God's got a bulk eraser. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ.
Lord.
But I say to you that you need to confess your sins and keep short accounts with God. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and your rage. Don't let the sun go down on you. Turn quickly and confess your sin and repent. Guard your mouth. Put a guard on your mouth because your words are like bitter arrows and they pierce. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You need to guard what you see and what you hear. In education, they talk about the eye gate and the ear gate. The things that go into the eye gate and go in the ear gate go down into your heart. And they fill up your heart. And then when you speak out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. You fill it up with crude jokes, listening to crude jokes all day, listening to violent television programs, that have sex, implicit sex. Why do you think God says you're not supposed to, and it says in Ephesians, you're not supposed to listen to coarse jesting and crude jokes? He says it's not fitting for a man of God. Because it goes down into your spirit and it comes out and it defiles you. So guard what goes into your eyes and your ears and down into your heart so it won't come out. You can Ephesians, I keep talking about Ephesians 4:29-31 because that's what you should, that should be your practice with your tongue. Let's look at it again. I talked about it yesterday. We'll look at it again today. Some of you might not have been here yesterday and didn't hear. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the necessary edification of building up, that it might impart grace to the hearers. You know, if you only spoke that which imparted grace and built up people, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption, let all bitterness or rebellion, anger, wrath, clamor, evil, clamor means loud quarreling, or evil speaking, which means speaking curses, be put away from you with all malice, but be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. And gentlemen, that's the way you're supposed to treat your wives. It says, love your wife, and don't be bitter with her. God never commanded a woman to love her husband. It's just that the husband should love his wife and not be bitter. If you do this with your marriage, and love your woman, build her up, thank God for her every day, the Holy Spirit will change her. If she's got faults, the Holy Spirit will convict her and change her and bring her to you. It says, by your godly example, she will be won over by your godly example and come to Christ. When Worley used to say he'd get the men saved. You get all these old big ugly men toting Bibles, he said the women will come along. He never had trouble with the women in church. He said, you get all these old big ugly men toting Bibles and watching what they're saying and following Jesus. He said, the women are going to be right there with them.
Amen.
Men? Yes, praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Now, I want to talk to you about the different types of curses. Praise you, Lord God. Before we do that, I want to show you that blessings and curses can come back to the sender. Let's look first at Psalms 35. I had a friend who was a Swedish curse caster before he got saved. And he, whenever any of his friends got hurt or wronged, he would go out in Minneapolis, go out to an old deserted building that had been on the Underground Railroad. And apparently a lot of the people had died there and left a lot of demonic force there. He said he'd go out and told his wife, isn't this the most wonderful place? She said, this is the creepiest place I've ever been in. I just can't wait to get out of here. But he'd go out and he'd make his altar and he'd put his black candles on it and he would chant his incantations and this black cloud would come up over it and he'd send it out to perform the curse. But he said he had to be very, very careful. He said, you know, I always investigated very carefully to make sure what they told me was true. That the curse was deserved. Because, you know, an undeserved curse won't light. It'll come back. That's in Proverbs 26. So hold your finger now in Psalms 35. And let's go over and look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verse 2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not light. Means, and he said the curse had come back on him. And so he was very careful. And so I read that in Proverbs, that it wouldn't light. And so then I turned and I looked at Psalm 35. And here, David is talking, is praying, and he's praying about some people who've risen up against him. And he says in verse 12, they reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. Now remember yesterday we talked about rewarding evil for good brought about the vagabond curse. Now hold your finger there on 12 and go down and look at 26. And this is the results, one of the results of bringing about evil for good. Let them be ashamed, brought to mutual confusion. Who rejoice at my hurt, let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, who magnify themselves against me. Now, David is speaking under the Holy Spirit. This is the result, rewarding good for evil. But he goes on with 13, and says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own bosom. Now, you remember yesterday we said that God recompenses the iniquities of the fathers into the bosom of the children? You remember that? Well, here it says, Paul, he says, I fasted and I prayed for my friends when they were sick. I sent blessings forth, but they came back into my own bosom. And you asked about blessing your enemies? Cast them out.
That's good.
As God says, pray for them, bless them. If they don't deserve, they come back to you.
Good. Amen.
Now, you know, and so that's what Scripture says. Now, let's turn over to Psalm 64. And you see the other side of the coin. Now, here is another Psalm of David who's praying for protection. And he talks about verse 2 says, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword. Okay. They're sharpening up their tongue. Who bend their bows to shoot their arrows. And what are the arrows? Bitter words. Curses. They're shooting them out now. They may shoot in secret the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. But look at what happens in verse 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly they shall be wounded, and he will make them stumble over their own tongue. The implication is there that these are the bitter arrows that they've shot forth at the blameless, and they will not light. They have come back on those who shoot them. Do you see that? And so, you see, your words can come back to haunt you. Blessings can come back upon you. Curses?
Yes.
Okay. Now, look at Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58:9. Now, all of you know that this is the fasting chapter in which the people of Israel have called out to God and they say, God, why is it we fasted and you hadn't noticed? Why is it we prayed and had all these solemn assemblies and you hadn't noticed? And he starts telling them the things they've done wrong, but that he hasn't heard them. He hasn't noticed their fasting. Why haven't you noticed? Why haven't you answered our prayers? And then he goes on and I can talk about this for an hour, but he says, is not the fast I have chosen to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? He said. Then he says the fast. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? That you bring into your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. And then when you do these things, your light shall shine forth like the morning, your healing will spring forth speedily, your righteousness go before you, the glory of God shall be your rear guard. And when you call, the Lord will answer and shall cry, hear me. And then he says, if you take away the yoke from your midst. Now, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. That pointing of the finger is literally the sending out. And that's cursing. This is the Hebrew This is a perfect example of cursing. That's when you point at somebody and you speak something evil to them. How many times have you ever pointed at your child and said, "You worthless thing, you"? Now, you just cursed him. "You just dumb." You cursed your child. That's right. That's what he says. If you stop cursing, the pointing of the finger, the sending out of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday, and God will convide you continually and satisfy your soul in the drought, and so forth. I'm not going to preach teach on this, but I wanted you to see that God does not want you sending out curses. He does not want you sending out curses. If you're doing that, you can fast. God won't answer you. That's what he says. If you're doing that, you can fast and God won't answer. He won't hear you. You go back and read the whole context of 58. That's what it says. Praise you and bless you and glorify you. Okay. Now, I want to give you an example of a curse spoken by a man of God coming to pass in the Bible. Let's turn over to Joshua. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. This is a classic example. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. Here, Joshua has defeated Jericho. The walls have been fallen down. The city has been plundered. Everybody but Rahab and her family have been destroyed. And in verse 26 of chapter 6, I'm sorry, not 7, chapter 6, Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with the firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." And so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Now let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter 16. Follow it through. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, the last verse in the chapter. And he's talking about Ahab. Verse 36, Ahab made a wooden image. And Ahab did provoke the Lord God of Israel to the anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Okay, verse 34. In his days, in Ahab's days, Hallel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid the foundation with Abner, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Sejug, or somebody. Lord, you know these people gone to glory. Lord, you know who they are. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. And there's a curse, the word of God, a curse by the word of God, come to fulfillment. I just want you to see it. It's here in the Bible. Okay. Now, curses are real. I had a real problem with cursing. I knew that there were curses. It said, you know, I knew about the sins of the fathers, but I didn't understand other curses. I knew they were real, but I just didn't understand them. And I was fasting and praying with the Lord one day. I was studying on this. And I was on my knees by the side of my bed. And I found myself in spirit, accompanied by someone behind me who acknowledged that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. And he took me into a room. And I was standing in a room and I saw a small boy, and his father was an alcoholic. And he was standing over him. And I cannot repeat what I heard because it was profanity. But he said, "You stupid." And he had some choice words. "You ain't got sense enough to pour water out of a boot. You're the dumbest I've ever seen. You're dumb. You'll always be dumb. You'll never amount to anything. You're the most stupid." And he went on and on. And all of a sudden, I saw his look like a laser beam, like one of these laser little laser pointers, hit that kid. I said, "Huh? What was that?" He said, "That was the demon the devil dispensed to bring that curse to pass." I said, where does it say in Scripture that a father can curse his son? And he said, in Genesis. Now, he didn't say anything. All communication was done through thought patterns. There was nothing. I tried to talk, but it was all done. Well, that's another story. But Genesis. Let's look at Genesis 27. The minute he said Genesis and gave me chapter and verse, I knew the whole verse. Genesis chapter 27, 12. The story is Jacob. Rebekah is sending Jacob to steal Esau's blessing. And he says, but my mother, I am a smooth-skinned man, and my brother's a hairy man. And if he feels me and perceives me to be a deceiver, I'll receive a curse and not a blessing. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I will seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. And there it is. A father has the authority to curse his son. Has the authority to bless them, the authority to curse them. The Word of God. Be careful what you say to your children, men, ladies. Don't say evil things to them. Say good things. Bless them. Now, you have to correct your children, but you can correct them in a godly manner, not one that you beat them down with a stick and tell them that they're worthless. You can tell them they made a mistake, but you don't tell them they're worthless. And tie that child down with a demon of shame, a demon of inadequacy, a demon of rejection, fear, and so forth. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I once ministered. The next thing I saw was a boss talking to one of his employees. Actually, it was a boss talking to his employee, and then who wanted to leave. And then the next scene showed a pastor talking to one of his flock and said, you know, God has called me to another church. He said, I'm going to be leaving. God is moving me to this other body. And this pastor got very upset. The man's going to take his tithe and go someplace else. Pastor needed that tithe. He said, if you go there, your business will fail. It's not God's will for you to leave him. You go there, you're going to have your business will fail. Again, the light. I said, well, where is that in Scripture that a pastor can curse his flock, somebody under his spiritual authority? Let's look at Numbers 5. Tommy spoke about this earlier. The spirit of jealousy. Number 19. Okay. Story is, if a man thinks his wife has been unfaithful to him and a spirit of jealousy comes upon her, he shall bring her before the priest, and the priest shall take some of the dust from the floor of the tabernacle and put it in the water. Let's look at verse 19. Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of remembrance in her hand, which is a grain offering of jealousy, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings the curse. And the priest shall put the woman under oath and say to the woman, if no man is laid with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanliness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water, this curse. But if you've gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself and some other man other than your husband has lain with you, then the woman shall put the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse and shall say to the woman, the Lord shall make a curse and an oath among your people, and the Lord shall make your thigh to rot and your belly to swell, and may this water which causes a curse go into your belly and make your belly swell and your eye fot. And the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Now you notice the woman accepted the curse. That's important. Remember that she accepted it. She said, amen, so be it. And if you don't refuse it, the devil thinks you've accepted it. You don't have to say amen. If you stand there and the pastor says, and you are going to play for that amen, and you just tuck your head and walk out of there, the devil figures you accepted that. But if you say, I reject that in the name of Jesus Christ,
yes,
I reject that. And then you walk on. then that curse will not light because you have not accepted it. But if you are under authority and the person authority over you speaks a curse and you accept it, or you don't reject it in the name of Jesus, it can come to pass. It can come to pass. It's in the Word of God. Okay. And the priest shall write the curses in the book and shall scrape them off into the bitter water, and then he shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings the curse, and the curse shall enter and shall become bitter, and the bitter shall take the grain offering in the woman's hand and wave it before the altar. And if when he's made her drink the water and she's defiled herself and bathed and becomes bitter, her thigh will rot and her belly will swell. It will come to pass. Okay. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. And so, there you have first, a father can curse his children. Grandfather can curse his children. Mother can curse the children. Grandmother can curse the children. You have a position of authority. Your boss can curse you. Your pastor can curse you if you accept it. Okay. Curses you in secret. It's got to find a sin to light on. We'll come to that. You can be perfectly blameless and still get cursed if you accept it. I can show you that a dozen other places, but I won't. We'll move on. Okay. Spoken when wronged. You know, if somebody wrongs you, you have a right to curse them. Let's look at Judges 9. You all remember the story of Gibeon. And he was named Baal-Jerubbaal. Now, Jerubbaal had, how many sons did he have? Gosh knows. He had 71 sons. He had 70 sons and one son by concubine. And that son's name was Abimelech. And Abimelech hired somebody to go to kill all his brothers, so he could inherit Jeroboam's position as judge. But one of them got away. The youngest one got away. But Jeroboam made a league with Shechem and Ben-Milo. And he went and he killed all of them. And so the next day they were all getting together after. And so this youngest son, Joam, this is in Judges 9, verse 7. And when it was told to Joam, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gizeel and lifted his voice and cried out to them. And there's a long curse here. But we'll just read verse 16. Now, therefore, if you've acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you've dealt well with Jeroboam, that's Gibeon, and his house, and done to him as he deserves. For my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. But you've risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech the son of his maidservant king over the men of Shechem because he is your brother. If you've acted in truth and sincerity with Jeroboam and his household, then rejoice with Abimelech and let him rejoice with you. If not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Belalo, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem and Belalo and devour Abimelech. And then he ran away before they could kill him. And if you read the rest of that chapter, there's a long chapter there in verse 23. He says, Abimelech raged over Israel 3 years, and God sent a spirit of ill will. Now, that is an evil angel. It's the same thing spoken of when he sent a distressing spirit on Saul. Same word. He sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the crime done to the 70 sons of Jeroboam will be settled, and their blood laid on Abimelech, their brother who killed them, and the men of Shechem who aided him in killing his brothers. And if you read on down, you'll find it all came, and if you go to verse 56, thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers, and all the evil of the men of Shechem returned on their heads, and came the curse of Joam, the son of Jeroboam. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Abimelech was got too close to the tower, and a woman threw a millstone down and hit him in the head, and he was dying. He said, run me through with a sword so no one can say a woman killed Abimelech. And this is quoted. This is quoted to King David when he's speaking about Bathsheba's husband, the Hittite. What was his name? Uriah the Hittite was killed. When he went to say Uriah the Hittite, he said, well, don't you know, when they got too close to the wall, the woman threw the millstone down and killed Abimelech, and what you let them get so close to the wall for? This story is quoted there. But the story is that when you've been wronged, you have a right to curse, according to the Bible. You've been truly wronged. But God says, curse not. Vengeance is mine. In the New Testament, it says in, for a believer, let's look in Romans chapter 12. It says, repay no one evil for evil. Chapter 12, verse 17. 14, verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you, bless, do not curse. And then chapter 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. In so doing, you will keep coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, let's go back to verse 20. Now, Paul leaves off the last line of that proverb. So I want you to turn over to Proverbs 25. Keep your finger there in Romans and go back to Proverbs 25. He's quoting from Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22. And here, if you read in Proverbs 25, verse 21, it says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. 22 says, and so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So when you don't repay evil for evil, and you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, God will reward you. Now, you know what is forgiveness? You know, we talked about forgiving, and we talked about it yesterday. We'll talk about it again today. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, it separates you from God because you're still in your sin. It says God will forgive you your sin by the same measure you forgive other people. Now, forgiveness is the willingness to live with results of someone else's sin and not extract revenge. That's what it is. Once you've been wronged, it's your willingness to live with it and not extract revenge. Now, the truth is you're going to live with the results of the sin. You're going to live with it. Somebody else's sin comes down on you, you're going to live with the results of that, whatever it causes. That's a practical matter. But you give up the right to revenge. You say, Lord, bless them. I don't want revenge, Lord. I want your blessing. Just bless them, Lord God. I forgive them. Bless them. And as you, then you begin to pray for them. You remember Matthew 4:45 says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and abuse you, that you may be a son of your Father who is in heaven. And remember in Job, God said to Job's comforters that came and sat for 40 chapters and accused him of being a bad guy. And God said, you haven't said what's right, my friend Job. He said, my servant Job has. He said, therefore, if you take some oxen and go to Job and have him offer a sacrifice, I won't judge you according to your folly. And so they went and they took the oxen, and Job prayed for his friends. And when he prayed for his friends, God restored. He healed Job and restored him. That's in Job. You want to get healed, pray for those enemies. Pray for the people who've hurt you. Pray for them. Honestly, pray for them and ask God to bring them to salvation. Touch them and bring them to salvation and bless them. And you'll find that it'll heal you. Now, what God does with them is His business. And if He chooses to bless them, that's His business. Don't get bitter over it. God knows what He's doing. You know, God knows what He's doing. You and I can't tell God how to run this kingdom. He's the boss. If you don't think He's boss, you've got a lot to learn. He's the boss, and he's going to run it his way. There's only one way. That's his way.
Yes.
And you say, God, you run your kingdom. I just ask you to bless them, Lord God, and set me free from the pain, the anger, and the hurt, and the bitterness that comes, that I might hear your voice and do your will and be a fruitful servant for you. For he says, we are only, you remember he said, we are only fruitful servants who've done our duty. And that's what you want. You want to be a fruitful servant who's done your duty. God will reward you. He will raise you to be a friend. He will call you friend. When he comes back and he's found that you've done, he will gird himself and wait on you and call you friend. But you got to forgive. Praise God. Let's go on. I'll get to talking here. The next type of curses is soulish prayers. Now, you know, as I said, there are two fountains. One is the spirit of the world, and the other is the spirit of God that comes out of your mouth. You read the story in the Kansas City Times, the young girl who was down and working in the 7-Eleven store, and the hoods came in with the guns and they were going to rob her and take her out and rape her, and she said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. And they looked startled and they dropped their guns and ran out. Now, whether they saw two big angels behind them looking at them, or whether just the fear of God fell on them, I don't know. They didn't catch them to find out. They just ran off. They published it in the paper. And about 2 weeks later, same thing happened. This unbeliever, and she said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. And they ate her alive. She's like the seven sons of Sceva, who called on the name of Lord Jesus that Paul preaches. And said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we've heard about. Who are you? And so, one was spoken in the spirit of the Lord, one was spoken in the spirit of the world. The devil didn't choose to send out any demons to protect that girl. Soulish prayers. Let's look at James chapter 3. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, or selfish ambition, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic.
Yes.
That word sensual there really means soulish. There's not the word soulish doesn't exist in the English language, but the Greek word is soulish. In the King James, it's translated either sensual or natural. You know, it says the natural man does not receive the things of God. That's a soulish man. The psuche man does not receive the things of God. Well, this is soulish. It's earthly, soulish, demonic. Now, well, what kind of bitter envy and self-seeking, what is that? Lord, I want the big house up there on the hill, up in the country club section with the Cadillac, so that everybody can see what a good God you are and how you blessed me. And I'll be able to tithe on it, Lord, to help the church. Now, people, I think that is a soulish prayer. It is self-seeking. It's selfish ambition. It's self-seeking. Lord, make my husband see that my way is the right way. Or make my wife see. Touch our Lord God and make her come around. We need to buy this new car. Or we need to do this, or we need to do that, or we need to do the other. Make her see it, Lord. Now, the devil can dispense a demon to bring that to pass. It's called a soulish prayer. Jezebels pray that all the time. And they got familiar spirits to bring it to pass. They got demons at their command. Now, Jezebel can be a man or a woman, usually a woman. You know, I talked to you once before, and I said that witchcraft is to try to control someone else. It's done by intimidation, manipulation, domination. The end result is domination. Men, being larger, bigger, tend to intimidate. You know, I was ministering to some young man who was this broad and almost touched the ceiling. Just his physical presence is intimidating. And somebody says, man, I hope he don't manifest no mean demon. Boy, look at the size of him. I mean, just the physical presence. And you say, man, you don't want to get him mad. Ooh, you get him mad, no telling what he'll do. But see, just that physical presence is intimidating. That's witchcraft. Women, being generally smaller, tend to manipulate. But the end result is domination. Both of Jezebel, both of witchcraft. And you do it through, you can do it through prayer. Give me my way. Make this happen so this will happen or that will happen. And it is sensual, soulish, demonic. Those are curses that are spoken out. They're witchcraft curses to bring to pass your selfish ambition. I'm getting awful quiet in here. I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. Does anybody have any problem with this now? Those are curses. Those are soulish curses. I say be very careful. When you pray, ask God to change you. Ask God to touch you. Let Jesus shine out of you. Bless those people around you. Ask God to bless them, to touch them and bless them and heal them. Okay. And the third is the professional witch. Now, Tommy talked about this earlier. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 13. And he talked about Jezebel in the house of God. And Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 17, likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy of their own spirit or their own heart. Their own soul, prophesy against them. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils on the heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people to keep yourself alive? Will you profane me among my people for hands full of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, and keeping people alive who should not live, by lying to my people who listen to your lies? Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms, which you hunt souls like flying things. Not birds, flying things. There's a very specific Greek word for bird. I mean, Hebrew word for bird. You'll find this also in Ecclesiastes, when he says, don't curse the king in your heart or the rich man with your tongue, for the bird of the air will tell the thing. That's the flying thing. That's the familiar spirit. When you curse someone, the familiar spirit hears you curse it, and he goes and tells it. That's the flying thing. My mother used to say that she had a little birdie that's watching me. She had little birdies all over town, boy. Never got away with anything with my mother, boy. She had little birdies all over town. And I didn't know it was in the Bible. The little birdie told me, oh, God. Mama's little birdies. Okay, Ezekiel 17, let's see. But you notice it said it hunts souls. Now, down in Guatemala, Norman Parrish will tell you that they have professional witches who steal part of your soul and put it in a bottle. They say, oh, now, that's silly superstition, Billy. You know that. We're living in a modern scientific age now. That sort of thing doesn't happen. Yeah, I've seen people die when they had the curse. I was raised on a cotton farm in Alabama, and we had the hoodoo who lived down the road. His name was Harry S. And Harry killed two people by pointing the box at them. Just pointed the box. They died. When I was a young physician and went back to my hometown, a friend of mine who was practicing there asked me to see this young lady who was dying, and he couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And I went in and I talked to the family, and they said that the hoodoo had put the curse on. And my answer to them was, go pay him to take it off. But they didn't have enough money to pay him to take it off. He set too high a price, and the girl died. We posted her. We sent tissues off for toxicology. Did everything in the world to try to figure some, find some sort of poison. Wasn't there. Says here they kill people who should not die. Right here. It brings people to life. It heals people. Did you know that you could get healed by the Christian Science practitioner? You know that? You go to the Christian Science practitioner, you can get healed. What will it do? Keep you from ever getting saved. You get a demon in you. If you've been healed by a Christian Science practitioner, you almost have to renounce the healing and the demon. Get that demon out of you before you can get saved. Oh, a good friend of mine was a missionary. He spoke the talk about the native in New Guinea who got the horrible infection in his arm. Went to the doctors, went over, they prayed for him. Went to the doctors, they're going to cut your arm off. The man said, I can't make a living without my arm. Said, I'm a laborer, I work in the fields. There's nobody to hire a one-armed man. But he went to the witch doctor. Witch doctor talked to the demon. His little brother, come out of him. The witch doctor talks to the demon, they call him little brother. Man got healed. What did it do? Destroyed that man's faith. He was chief elder in the church. Fell away from the faith, was never able to believe again. That demon came into him when he got healed. He accepted that demon into him. Witchcraft's very, very real. I've seen it. I won't go into any deeper than that, but I tell you it's very real. Curses are very real. Here you see them keeping people alive. He said, with your lies you made the heart of the righteous sad, verse 22, whom I have not made sad, you strengthen the hands of the wicked, so he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And God says, I have delivered you out of the hands of the professional witches. I have delivered you out of the hands of the soothsayers. I have delivered you. How have I delivered you? I have given you authority and said that no weapon against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in condemnation you shall refute or refuse. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's in Isaiah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 40. Praise God. Now. 54. Okay. I'm 10 verses old. 10 places old. 54. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall refuse or refute. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is for me, says the Lord. To break a curse, you just quote Isaiah. That no tongue rises against you shall prosper, and every tongue. And ask God to bless the person that sent it. Now, in some churches we'll give you the teaching that you should send the curses back. And they quote Psalm 109. I'd be very, very, very careful with that. Now, there is a place for an imprecatory prayer. There's no doubt. It's in Scripture. I can show it to you in a half a dozen places. But I'd be very, very careful with it. Make sure that your heart is right before God. That it is not for your selfish ambition. It is not for your revenge. It is not for your envy. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit telling you to do it. You just check it three ways from Sunday before you do that. Glenn gave me an excellent tape, a man who spoke on imprecatory prayers. I think they're real. And there's been twice in my life that God has called me to do that. And the first time it was before he really convicted me. I felt he was calling me to it, and then I was going to do it again, and I started, and I got out halfway through it, and I couldn't say the words. My mouth choked up, my mouth got dry, and so I just went before the Lord, and I wasn't supposed to do that. I did it for a long time, and then once God, there was a professional witch, and she was sending out curses against a dear friend of mine, fellow minister. God showed it to me. And I was praying, and God said, send them back. So I sent them back. But I warn you that you be absolutely certain it's not something to be entered into lightly. You better be sure. I don't teach it. I don't talk about the scriptures for it. But I know that there are a lot of charismatic people who do and felt rather strongly about it, people that I respected. And so I say, be very careful before you do that. And so, curses come. First, the curse of the law. Then the curse of returning evil for good. Then the curse of whoredom that comes on your family from idolatry and breaking God's sexual laws. Third is the curse of God that's spoken out. As he said, as you by the word of God, Joshua said in the man that's spoken by the word of God. Then those in authority over you. And then the authority of the family, of the head of the family, the mother and the father. And then the soulish prayers, which are curses, witchcraft curses. And finally, the professional witch. Someone was describing to me, I met with a couple today, and they described me a woman who's always talking about the Lord telling her this and the Lord telling her that, and she's using her familiar spirits, thinking they're God, to control, manipulate people around them. She's a professional witch, whether she knows it or not. She's a witch. The only difference is that she just doesn't get paid for it that we know about. The witch doctors get paid for it. But these people are doing it out of selfish ambition. And lots of times they're deceived. They really think they're doing God's work. Does not the scripture say that there will be times when people will kill you and think they are doing a service for God? That's because they're deceived. Those people, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Now you bind the familiar spirits. Well, we got a few minutes. Let me talk a minute about familiar spirits to you. I always had real problems with familiar spirits. Again, because I knew they were exist, but I just couldn't find an adequate definition that explained familiar spirits to me. I just couldn't find a definition that you know, we knew that the card lay, I had a familiar spirit, that the crystal ball roll, I had a familiar spirit, that but it just was sort of a hodgepodge. I really didn't understand it. And one night, God spoke to me in an audible voice. It startled me. I was getting ready to go to bed. And he said, his voice said, a familiar spirit is, he got that far, and I said, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and has come in the flesh. And he said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and has come in the flesh. A familiar spirit is. A familiar spirit is a spirit that a person is familiar with through which he or she can manifest supernatural power. I said, why is there no reference to a familiar spirit in the New Testament? Only in the Old Testament. He said, all reborn believers have a familiar spirit through which they can manifest supernatural power. Its name is the Holy Spirit. And so then I started studying. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was only poured out on specific individuals, on known prophets, and then not all the time, known people, and then not all the time, when the Spirit of God came upon them. Other people, and these people were accepted to manifest supernatural power. If anybody else manifested supernatural power, they were said to be... have a familiar spirit, to be a soothsayer, to be a medium, and they were stoned. Suffer not a witch to live. Anybody that manifested anything, any type of supernatural power that was not from the Spirit of God, they stoned them. They cast them out of the land. And so we come down today, the devil has a counterfeit for every spiritual gift. There's a supernatural counterfeit. And so this lady that he was talking about to me, she's got a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. She thinks she's talking to God, and she's talking to a Jezebel demon. And these are the hardest people in the world to minister to because they're deceived. How many of you people are deceived? Well, as usual, nobody holds up their hand, because if you know you're deceived, you're no longer deceived. By definition, deception means that you believe a lie and don't know it. And it's somebody who's deceived and thinks they're talking to God, and you're going to tell them it's a demon. You're going to talk to you blue in the face. And they're not going to believe you. They're going to believe that demon. 90% of the time. Now, occasionally, but most of the time, they will believe the demon. The Holy Spirit of God can convict them, can show them they're deceived and convict them. Yes. I'll give you an example. In a church that I know, there was a lady. Minister asked me about, I said, she's Jezebel. He didn't want to believe it. But she has such supernatural power. She's got such, she walks in the gifts. She exhorts the people. She's Jezebel. Well, it built on up to the point that she felt that she was a prophet. She announced to the church that she was a prophet. And God had called her as a prophet. And she had a prophecy for the direction of the church. And she would give them the first part of it. And when they'd fulfilled that, then she would give them the second part. And when they fulfilled that, then she'd give them the third part. And would bring them into the fullness of God's kingdom. Her husband happened to be the chief elder in the church also. And the secretary of the church, her husband worked for him. Well, anyway, when she did this, they came back and asked me again, and I gave them some work on Jezebel. And so they asked me, and we met with her, and the rest of the elders met with her, and the praise team leader met with her, and a number of other people at a large group of the leadership of the church, and I was invited. And she repented and said, you know, she repented. She asked forgiveness, and on the way home, demon began to talk to her. And God allowed me to hear the conversation. Said, don't you know you're going to lose your ministry? You're not going to be the prophet anymore. They put witchcraft on you. You know. And you're turning away from the Most High God. You're going to hell. She called the next day and said, y'all put witchcraft on me. How dare you? And she threatened suit and a number of other things, and they left the church. The pastor, they didn't know what to say, and I said, don't you say anything. You let the Holy Spirit defend you.
That's right.
And so I went to a men's. I went to the men's meeting with them, and all the men began to cry, and they won't know what happened. And the pastor, he didn't want to say anything, and I got up, and I said, well, the pastor can't say anything, but I can tell you boys what happened. Then don't you let that woman pray for your wife. Because you can only give out what is in you. And she's got rebellion and witchcraft on her, and that's all she can give out. And if you want your wife to rebel at home, you want a bunch of rebellious women on your hands, just send them over and let her pray for them. That's what you'll have. And they all agreed that, you know, maybe that's not what they wanted. And so she wrote in the letter, she said, I'm not supposed to even... Even me in the same room with Dr. Noah. Oh, Lord. But those are familiar spirits. How can you tell? I've got a tape back there on discernment, but there's a sevenfold, there's seven things. First, if you compare it by the Word of God. You compare it to the Word of God. You remember the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit's supposed to be prophesying, is supposed to be moving through these people. If what they do is in conflict with the written Word of God, you know the Holy Spirit's not going to contradict himself. So it's not the Holy Spirit. That's always your check. Does it lead to bondage? No. The Holy Spirit's the spirit of liberty. Does it lead to confusion? No, it never leads to confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Amen. Does it come true? If it comes true, does not prove that is God. But remember, the girl with the spirit of divination was able to accurately foretell the future. Demons can can manipulate circumstances to make things come true. But if it doesn't come true, it's not God.
That's right, amen.
But if it comes true, it's not God. Now, that's what the Jezebel will do. Says that they'll make some very general statement, but if it came true, you know it's of God. Most time they say, you see, it's supernatural, you know it's God. I tell you, people, everything supernatural is not the Holy Spirit. And most charismatic churches, if something supernatural happens, they will jump up and down and shout and holler and say, God is Him.
Right.
And it might not be God.
That's right.
And praise you, Lord Jesus. And the last and the most positive thing is, does it witness to your spirit?
Yes.
Does it witness? And you look at you, does it witness? Doesn't witness. You got a check in your spirit and you put it on the shelf. Say, God, you show me. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, let's all stand up. I've been talking longer than I really wanted to. Hallelujah. Get our blood circulating again. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Everybody jump up and down a little bit and get the blood out of their feet. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I could talk about this subject for another 2 hours, but it's so deep and there's so much there and there's so much in Scripture about it. Praise you and bless you, Lord. I just encourage you to watch what you say. Let nothing come out of your mouth that doesn't build up and bear grace to the hearer. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's praise Him, people. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Glorify you, Lord. We praise you and bless you, Lord Jesus. Glory, Lord. Glory to you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you and bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's sit down now. Say,
dear Lord.
I believe,
Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
Was manifested in the flesh.
Died for my sins on the cross.
Was dead and buried.
Was raised on the third day.
For my justification.
Ascended into heaven.
Sits on the right hand of the Father.
Ever to make intercession for me.
I am a child of God.
God is my Father.
Jesus Christ is my big brother.
I am a child of God.
Accepted in the Beloved.
I am not a rejected child.
Lord Jesus,
I confess
that in the past
I have not been careful
and prudent
with my tongue.
I confess this is sin
and ask that the curse be broken on me
and my children
and lineage descendants
forever
in the name of Jesus.
I break
all curses
spoken against me
and my family
from any source
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I break
any curses
that I've spoken unintentionally
against my family,
my friends,
my pastor,
my boss,
and other people.
In the name of Jesus,
I ask, I confess it as sin.
And I ask the Lord
to send forth His angels
to break the curses
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I confess
and I renounce
the occult
and all of its demons.
I praise you, Lord. I renounce the card layers, fortune tellers, Ouija boards, and all other occult games. I renounce all demonic power to impose my will on others. I renounce all sorcery, dependence on talisman. I renounce all idolatry in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I break the curse of mental illness. Of mental heredity. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus. Touch me. And my family.
Lord Jesus.
I forgive. Everyone. Who's ever hurt me. Who's ever dominated me. Or controlled me. In any way. Contrary to the will of God. I forgive them. And I break. All ungodly soul ties to my mother,
father,
grandparents, and any other person, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to bless them and bring them to salvation. Lord Jesus, I confess that in the past I have committed sexual sin. Now here we're going to pause, and if you have sexual sin in your life that has been unconfessed, you need to quietly confess it. If the Holy Spirit brings anything to mind, you need to quietly confess it under your breath.
I ask forgiveness, Lord.
I ask forgiveness, Lord.
And that the curse be broken.
That the curse be broken.
On me.
On me.
And my lineal descendants.
And my lineal descendants.
Forever.
Forever.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I break the curse,
I break the curse
of incest, of illegitimacy, and whoredom. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I break all ungodly soul ties
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe,
Lord Jesus,
your word says.
That if I confess my sin,
you're faithful and just
to forgive my sin
and to cleanse me
from all unrighteousness.
I accept your forgiveness and cleansing.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, Lord, set me free
from the things that bind.
You know those things that bother me, Lord.
Set me free.
For your word says
in
Joel
2:32,
anyone
who
calls upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
Set me free now, Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now, all you spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus, I just break your power over these people.
I bind you and I break your power.
All spirits of rejection, being rejected by mother, by father,
in the name of Jesus. I break the power of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ.
I break the power of rejection, of fear of rejection, of fear of not being loved, of fear of not being wanted, of fear, all fear. Fear of the dark, fear of spiders, fear of snakes, fear of failure, all fear. I command you to go. For God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I break the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of all lust, all sexual lust, in the name of Jesus. I break the power of sexual lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In the name of Jesus, I bind it and command it to be gone. I bind the spirit of sexual immorality in the name of Jesus, of fantasy in the name of Jesus. I break fantasy in the name of Jesus and I command it to be gone in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fantasy be gone in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of rebellion, of witchcraft and rebellion in the name of Jesus. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I bind witchcraft. I bind bind Jezebel in the name of Jesus. I break Jezebel's power. I break the power of rebellion in the name of Jesus. I break the power of bitterness. Bitterness and rebellion. I bind bitterness. I pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. And I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you bitterness. And I command you to be gone out of these people in the name of Jesus Christ. All anger and rage and hostility and hate, I break your power and command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. All anger and hostility and hate, all stubbornness and idolatry, for stubbornness is an idolatry and an iniquity unto idolatry. In the name of Jesus, I break to all the stubbornness, stubborn self-will, unteachable spirits. I break your power and command you to leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. You can't stay anymore. I break your power and command you to go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. All Jezebel be gone in the name of Jesus. I break the power of bondage. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to cigarettes. Bondage to liquor. I bind the spirits of alcoholism and nicotine in the name of Jesus. And I break your power, alcohol and nicotine. I break your power. I break your curses spoken over you in the name of Jesus. I break all the curses that said that you are an alcoholic, that you'll always be an alcoholic, that you'll never be free. I break that curse in the name of Jesus Christ, and I speak healing and restitution to you. I speak healing to restitution in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power, the curse of alcohol, of drugs and sorcery and smoking in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of nicotine and I command it to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, nicotine. Go, infirmity spirits, in the name of Jesus. Go on, get out of them in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the talisman in the name of Jesus. I break the power of sexual sin in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. All of you, I break your power. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of sexual sin in the name of Jesus. I break the power and the rebellion in the name of Jesus. I break the power of perfectionism, all fault finding, all pickiness, all anger and rage be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. I bind the spirit of suicide, of deafness, Praise you, Lord God. I bind the spirits of suicide, of despondency, of heaviness in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of shame and fault-finding in the name of Jesus. I bind accusation and self-accusation and fault-finding in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of schizophrenia and paranoia, and I command you to go. I bind the spirits of multiple personality in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of schizophrenia and multiple personality, and I command you to go. Go, multiple personalities in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! Go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I break the power of the talisman. I break the power of in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power. I bind all the Pharisee spirits, all the lying spirits, all the religious spirits, all the tale-bearing spirits, all the gossiping spirits. Go in the name of Jesus. All the cheating spirits. Go. Go. All the spirits of the thief. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power and I say, be gone in Jesus' name. Every one of you, get out of there in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Go. Go. Go in Jesus' name. I break all the curses that have ever been spoken. I bind the spirits of heart attack and stroke in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of heart attack and stroke in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of sorcery in the name of Jesus. Go, sorcery! All sorcery spirits, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go! I bind the spirits of epilepsy. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of epilepsy. I bind the spirits of mental illness in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All you mental illness spirits, I break your power and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Go, go in the name of Jesus. All mental illness spirits, go. All you infirmity spirits, I break your power in Jesus' name. Go, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.